Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Children's Encyclopedia of Earth by Michael Allaby. This is a book discarded or sold at a church fete or a primary school fete. It's 2007. Someone's actually bought it. It's not a library book. Developed by Australians. What I was going to do is just read it cover to cover and add commentary on it to hone my reading skills and cognitive rehabilitation as I go through things and look at things, analyze it, and have a big think about how you can actually support students in the field. One of them is perhaps listening to it. You might want to listen to it. This section is episode 2, and it's Earth's history. Quite a fascinating thing. Starting off at page 26. And I'm just describing certain graphics with it. Okay, now, it's got a sort of a snaking track with lines drawn up showing a BYA, which is a billion years ago. I'd say 4.6 billion years ago the Earth forms, and this snaking S, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Going across, there's sort of no real mathematical story to why it goes and why there's oceans and liquids and stuff like that and snowball. It's just a graphical way where they can actually, on the side of their snaking S, they can color it to give certain areas and to give a sort of a linear timeline. So it gives you it's just a way of drawing this graphic. So it's not from left to right of the page, it's sort of up, down, left, right. So the age of the Earth starts going from the up top of the left, from right to left, then hooks around, goes from left to right, and it's sort of like a zigzag up the page. And I'll read the text first, and then I'll go through the different significant points that I've got here. Simple bacteria, life on Earth. Simple bacteria appeared 3.8 billion years ago. What? Oh, okay. Oh. So that bacteria branched away from archaea. Archaea, simple cells, I should say. The simple bacteria is really confused. Well, 4 billion years ago, 4.2 billion years is the most simplest form of life anyway. So I don't quite know what the meaning here. For a billion years after that, life did not produce anything more complex than jellyfish and seed weeds. That's incorrect, because jellyfish and seaweeds are multicell organisms. So that's just simply incorrect. Not specified the number of billion years. It can't be too many billion years, only 3.8, so you can't get 4 billion years, you run out of time. The 1 or 2 billion years, but even then, jellyfish and seaweeds are multicellular organisms, aren't they? I don't know what they're talking about. So, archaea. About 550 million years ago, there was a dramatic increase in the number of kinds of animals known as the Cambrian explosion. Starting from that time, early history is divided into 3 long eras containing even 11 shorter periods. Each containing. Okay. The division marks changes in the environment and the kinds of plants and animals that lived at different times. During Earth's long history, there have been 5 mass extinctions when the life of the planet was destroyed. When much of the life was destroyed. This is really a bit confusing because I think they mean the last period is broken into through here. So this is the caption here. Life of the past 3.8 billion years, many different species of plants and animals have evolved, thrived and become extinct as the conditions on our planet change. Humans are the latecomers to the planet. Okay. Here's a key, the Archean era, which I really find this hard to understand. Yeah, I find it hard to see because I'm looking here. Well, they have a colour key zone, and you've got the Archean era with the Archaea cells, which are pre-bacteria. The extremophiles, the protozoic era, which is, I would say, oh yes, I can see the protozoic era, and that's when the eukaryotic cells begin, and they have the eukaryotic cells begin 2.5 billion years ago, and then we have the transition to the Paleozoic era, which is the Cambrian explosion, etc., and that occurs with multicellular organisms. Okay, this is different from what I can understand, because I think you've got the crisis about 600 million years ago. I don't quite understand where this is coming from. Yep. Seaweeds and jellyfish. I may be wrong. I may be wrong here. Let's see. Now they have a caption here called living fossils. So this is things which are alive today but are no longer there. Okay. Stromatolites are built up over centuries by countless blue-green algae, blue-green bacteria that cement grains of mud together. That's cyanobacteria, what you call. Their shape looks a bit like a stone cauliflower. The living structure grows upward and outward, layer upon layer. Fossils from like 3.5 billion years are some of the earliest evidence of life. Yeah, so that's stromatolites are 3.5 billion years old, so therefore we had the those bacteria growing up at that point in time. Living stromatolites are found in a handful of sheltered bays. These 4,000-year-old specimens grow in the Hayman Pool, Shark Bay in Western Australia. And so they go across here. They show the Octavian, Ordovician explosion, which is the jawed fishes. The Cambrian fish are the stromatolites and the trilobites, etc. Before that, I'm just really struggling to see how this fits in. I'll have to look up on the internet to see with my understanding. Okay, the next one here, so that's an overview. This is the oldest thing, and they've just stripped over to life the plants on Earth. I will have to actually check when the first jellyfish go. So this is my general education. There are things in here I just need to go. 6 years. So they're getting this beautiful idea that you see different pages. This idea of a diorama and the underneath of the diorama, the support foundation of the diorama have these, this colour here. And so they've got the Carboniferous, which is 359 to 299 million years ago. So this is before the Blue Mountains forms. That's why we're sitting on top of two carbon grows. The Permian ones, the Triassic, then the Jurassic, and then the Cretaceous. And it's really interesting that before where dinosaurs came in. Okay, Earth is 4.6 billion years old, but for more than a billion years, only non-living things such as rock, water could exist because the poison scattered into the atmosphere and the fierce heat of the sun. Well, I think we're pushing it back to 4.1 billion years ago. This is the archaea. First tree plants grow in the ocean about 350 million years ago. So wouldn't that be seaweeds? The first land plants appeared about 400 million years ago. Yeah, this is, and so they have them, tree plants growing in this previous diagram. Well, could be. Yeah, the way that it's drawn. Oh yeah, okay, this is the way they've written it. It's just really confusing. The primitive land plants grew near lakes. They were ancestors of the spore-bearing plants. The giant club mosses, horsetails, ferns formed large forests during the Carboniferous. Now the important thing is that the ferns, they all have sperm. These plants have actually swimming sperm, and they swim in the water to the next plant. And so they do have spores. Seed-bearing plants such as conifers appeared 350 million years ago. The flowering plants appeared only at 135 million years ago. So this is about the spawn. Now, tree ferns. Ferns are land plants with a woody stem. They reproduce by tiny cells called spores. Tall tree ferns appeared and thrived during the Carboniferous. Today, they are restricted to moist forests. So we've got the these ferns growing around in Australia. So, yeah, the woody stems and the spores, basically microscopic things, are not having seeds. Carboniferous. The modern horsetail is essentially the same as that existed in the Carboniferous. Permian. The ginkgos are the only survivor of a group of plants that appeared in the Permian, the ginkgo sperms. And then the Jurassic conifer. It's nice to know that what ginkgo sperms are, these particular fan-shaped leaf structure. Now, they've got different sections here of different plants. Growing up, I don't know why they actually have it like this. Oh yeah, that's a really good way. They've got a key that you can actually confer and look for. In fact, you actually need questions to allow people to sight and see things. You can make a quiz here. How many animals here? When did this age goes across? So you you show here that the Stegosaurus and Triceratops lived a few hundred million years different, so you can't have them together, even though they're together in Barney the Dinosaur. So going across here, the Swampy Carboniferous, the giant club mosses, horsetails, quartertails, all grew tall as houses. Call it Permian. Ginkgos, conifers shared the world with other early plants. Dry Jurassic. Cycads flourished. Okay. And that's what dinosaurs tended to munch in the Jurassic. So, Perm is reptiles. Cooler, wetter Jurassics, new species of conifers such as swamp, cypress, and monkey puzzle appeared in the lush ferny undergrowth. Number 9. So, monkey puzzle. Oh, there's a monkey puzzle tree. Then the flowering Cretaceous, such as bulrushes, Mongolia beeches, and willow trees first appear. This is the dinosaurs, and then Paleogenic, the late things, so Jurassics, you know, your Jurassic Park had no flowering plants, began to rule the plant kingdom. Hooray, the Paleogen. And you've got strawberry and magnolia shown here. Flowering plants. Well, yeah. So in the Cretaceous, which is the sort of the really the major heyday of the dinosaurs, so you're really looking at dinosaurs between the Jurassic period, which is 151 million years ago. And what I like here is that they want to, they can't have it two ways. They're using all uppercase letters. They've got uppercase MYA, and you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to mix fonts when you're doing stuff like that. So the dinosaurs really existed from really 220 to 60 million years ago. So that's 4 plus 10 plus 2, about 160 million years ago. Okay, explosion of life. No, they do get this correct. Before the Cambrian explosion, about 550 million years ago, only blind, soft-bodied creatures swam the ocean. After the explosion, the oceans teemed with more complex animals with eyes, shells, and spines. Primitive sponges built the first reefs. But while the seas were full of life, dry land remained empty and lifeless. Many Cambrian animals were arthropods, which had jointed cases covering the outside of their bodies. Some of the predators that hunted down the other animals. Living arthropods include insects, spiders, and crabs. The ancestors of backbone animals also appeared at this time as tiny worm-like jaw fishes. I've got some of these fantastic ones. We've got some of these actual things still exist in Australia. Silk. No, something or other. Worm. Velvet worm. Beautiful, beautiful thing if you want to look at it. Ancient trilobites. Do trilobites have eyes? I don't know. Trilobites were a successful group of marine arthropods, among the first animals to evolve eyes. They do. Their body is covered with hard shells and divided into shield-like head, thorax, and abdomen, the tail. They existed about 300 million years ago. So that gives you an idea. 300 million years ago, the dinosaurs start popping up at 220 million years ago. Okay, and we've got here, this is all the Cambrian explosion, and now the Ordovician explosion comes next. I hope they cover that one. It's the more entertaining one. Cambrian seas. Bizarre creatures like in fill the Cambrian Sea. The fierce and Anomalocaris preyed the small animals, and the sea belt crawled with trilobites, armored plated Wewexa, and spiny Halogenia. I've got the actual ones that you can see. This is why I just, if you're doing this, you can actually put the numbers in the text, so if you read the text, you can go across. You don't have to go through a three-step process. Sponges filtered the water of edible particles. Other special creatures called Pika, the earliest vertebrate or animals, now with a backbone, about 490 million years ago, glaciers may have lowered the temperatures and oxygen in the water, and many of these ancient creatures became extinct. I don't know why glaciers would lower the oxygen. If you lower the temperature, you increase the oxygen content. I don't understand how it goes. My point here is that if you use the type of text in patents, that you can actually put in brackets there, and so you can read. You don't have to break people's concentration as you go across. So that's the Cambrian one. And at the bottom of the page, they have a timeline going across. And they have the timeline across for No, they don't have it for the nope, they don't have the they've just introduced the timeline for the first time down here. Now the Ordovician one is the really entertaining area. Teeming oceans. Now there's Cambrian extinction. I wonder if they cover that one. While some animal groups died out when the climate changed at the end of the Cambrian life, and oceans flourished during the next period, the Ordovian explosion, I think it's called, coral reefs appeared and provided habitats for snails, trilobites, sea lilies, and other animals. Cephalopods, and the same group of modern squids and octopus, became common, and some evolved into giant marine predators. For protection, small jawless fish developed hard, bony plates. Much of the Earth's water was frozen into great ice sheets. About 450 million years ago, giant glaciers began to cover the land. This reduced the temperature of the ocean and caused the sea levels and once again, many animals became extinct, including most, but not all, of the trilobites, because we still have a few of them, horseshoe crabs at the moment. I'd like to see this. These trilobites, I don't know how they are swimming, but they show them swimming here. Okay, the age of fishes. We've slipped the Silurian, and into the Devonian, which is 416 million years ago. And Devonian is still a sea-bound thing. The age of fish, of course, is called. In the Silurian period, giant scorpions hunted in the sea, while primitive plants grew on land. That's an important thing. So it's around Silurian, it's 450 million years ago. Arthropods, including sea scorpions, took the first steps out of the water to scavenge along the beaches and riverbanks. Fish took over the Devonian period, so that's from Devon. So the soils, the Devonian period is where oxygen increased and the seas turned colour. And this is where all the iron deposits were put in. So it's from Devon. Early sharks hunted the rivers and seas. Some armor-plated fish called placoderms grew to giant sizes. And so that's in Calandra. It's the fishes there. Other developed fleshy pairs of fins and were supported by sturdy bones. These were called lobed finned fish. One group of air-breathing lobe-borne fish developed legs. They crawled out of the water into the first forests, which teemed with primitive insects. Fish with legs. Vertebrate animals with four legs evolved from one group of Devonian. Their fins changed into arms and legs, allowing them to move on land. Others stayed in water and were the ancestors of today's lungfish. Okay, so we do have a good lungfish in Australia. The Eusthenophorus, a lobe-finned fish that has shoulders and hip joints like those of modern frogs. Skull. It could breathe air through the large lobes on its skull, but probably did not leave the water. The go-go fish was a Devonian fish that was closely related to our four-legged ancestors. Now, this is interesting. It would be good if we could link it with Australian, the Australian resources, museum resources, get it all integrated. When fish ruled, Dunkelosaurus measured about 30 feet, 9 metres, and was the mightiest predator of the Devonian seas. This bony-plated giant was the first of the jawed fish. A primitive shark called the Stethkas was a flat-topped back fin and flat head, both covered with tooth-shaped scales. Where are you? Oh, it's... my all teeth. It's pretty evil-looking fish. Spiny trilobites called Huntonian scavenged the food on the seafloor among the brachiopods, sponges, corals. Most of these marine animals were wiped out at the end of Devonian. So it goes, and we're coming up to the Carboniferous, which is the big tree growing thing. Oh, the end of an era. So I don't know where this goes. We just skipped the Carboniferous because I think we covered that with the plants, didn't we? Yeah, they haven't really explained themselves. too well. No, I don't understand. Okay. Indivinira. Swampy forests of huge clump mosses and horsetails thrived amongst the Carboniferous. Much of the coal we use today comes from the remains of these ancient plants. Predatory amphibians lurked under water. Giant millipedes scuttled through the undergrowth, and insects took to the air. Land became drier in the Permian, and reptiles thrived in the more arid world. The most important reptiles were mammal-like therapsids, some of which grew to huge sizes, whatever that means. At the end of the Permian, around 251 million years ago, a mass extinction called 90% of the marine life and 75% of all vertebrates on land. Coral reefs were wiped out. It took 10 million years for them to recover, so there's a 10 million gap. Yeah, so we're okay. We can lose the barrier reef. Just wait a few million years, we'll be back again. So that's interesting that these, the mammal-like dinosaurs are going out. Fighting for survival. During the Permian, the atmosphere was thick with volcanic dust. In the ocean, strange spiral-toothed sharks called the helophorn hunted rays. Wow. And small fish. On the bottom of the sea, the last of the trilobites hunted amongst the brachiopods, saber-toothed like animal, mammals like therapids, preyed on bony, plated reptiles in the parched deserts. But in all their size and strength, these creatures were helpless against the catastrophe that made them extinct at the end of the Permian. So, there is this amazing thing. This is a missing dinosaur. These are soft, cuddly things with saber-toothed teeth before the dinosaurs. The rise of the reptiles. So this is before the dinosaurs, I think. At the beginning of the Triassic period, 251 million years ago, all the world's land masses had joined the continent called Pangaea. So there's Pangaea and Gondwana land. So Pangaea, Pangaea is the major thing. And Australia's beginning to separate at this time, I think. The climate over much of Pangaea was hot and dry. New kinds of reptiles evolved, walking on land, swimming in water, flying in the skies. Primitive turtles, crocodiles. So the pterodactyl is actually not a dinosaur. Sorry to tell you, Barney. Turtles and crocodiles appeared. One group of reptiles developed legs and hips that allowed them to walk erect on their back legs. They were the first dinosaurs. So a group of dinosaurs. It's about the same time. So Jurassic. I don't know when the dinosaurs eventually came. Jurassic, they're together. Jurassic, they're beginning to divide across. And Australia's well separated by the Cretaceous. Okay. One group of reptiles... towards the end of the Jurassic, many large land-dwelling reptiles came extinct, and the dinosaurs seized control of the planets. So it's a reptile story, and then the dinosaurs were waiting to take over. There's a few odd creatures drawn in here. Pangaea formed in the Permian when all the land masses of Earth united in a single supercontinent. It began to break apart in the Jurassic. The land beneath our feet is still moving. A new supercontinent may form in the distant future. Jurassic. Plants, Jurassic flora like cycads and ferns and conifers were suited to the harsh environment. That shows the Jurassic beginning from 251 to 200 million years ago. The lush riverbanks of the Jurassic provided a welcome retreat against the hot, dry conditions of Pangaea. The armored plant eater, Desmotosuchus, and terrifying Protoceratops were relatives of the crocodiles. The Paleocyclotaurus, one of the last giant amphibians, regulated its body temperature by basking in the sun. The first dinosaurs were small, lightly built predators such as the swift Coelophosaurus and hunted in packs. So these are the little swift ones. They are pretty scary ones. Okay, the rise of the reptiles, the dinosaurs rule. Mm. Yeah, it's really interesting to go through. Dinosaurs dominated the Jurassic and the Cretaceous periods. So that's 200 million years ago. The early mammals, our ancestors, were small furry creatures that hid in the shadows. That's why we've only got night vision. Giant marine reptiles cruised beneath the waves. Prehistoric soared overhead, which are not dinosaurs. Some of the dinosaurs grew to be the largest animals that ever walked on land. Small meat-eating dinosaurs evolved feathers for warmth, and some learned to fly, becoming the first birds. It's really interesting that the process of them leaping to catch insects meant that they eventually learned to fly. Flowers evolved in the Cretaceous, which is after Jurassic. In the early Cretaceous, along with insects that pollinated them, the Earth's second largest mass extinction occurred 65.5 million years ago when a huge meteorite struck the planet. 95% of life was wiped out. Most of the dinosaurs and all the marine reptiles died. So there's such a thing as a marine reptile. I don't understand that one. I'd say from the dinosaur to bird, the bird-like dinosaur, the first bird, the modern bird, and showing, I don't know. Narrow jaws and teeth. The first bird. Claws on feathered wings. Bucko. This is so stupid. The actual birds do have a claw on their wings, as I've said there. Okay. So this is a picture which is incorrect. Birds do have a claw as a claw on their wings. I definitely know it because you get swooped by Australian birds and they can actually cut you with their claw. The dinosaurs reached their peak towards the end of the Cretaceous. Most terrifying, which is just before they were born, was the great meteor, the Tyrannosaurus, shattered by the scavenging Trilodon looking for leftovers. Some plant eaters, such as the Strychorus, had protective horns and armors. So, the Tyrannosaurus is not a member of the Jurassic, is that what they're telling me? Other reptiles ruled the seas. The long-necked Elsalmosaurus, officiating Protosaurus, soaring overhead, while the Predators, the largest animal ever lived, and the smaller Protodon. So they're actually saying these animals are up there in the picture. Okay, the age of mammals. The dinosaur hits, and there's some pretty groovy-looking twin-horned animals. Now, which is interesting that they show here a very ancient one from the Permian period, which evolved, the sail wing evolved into us. The age of the giant dinosaurs died out. Mammals began to expand in size. We've missed the age of the giant chickens, which is an important part at the very start of the end of the Cretaceous, the Paleogene. After the age of dinosaurs died out, mammals began to expand in size and move into new environments during the Paleogene period. This was when whales conquered the oceans and bats took to the air. One group to appear was the primates. The first primates were small tree dwellers with large brains, grasping limbs, and complex social behaviour. That's a bit of a stretch. Today's monkeys and apes and humans are descended from those early primates. Much of the Paleogene, the world was warm and humid. Grasses first grew in the riverbanks and lake edges, began to spread into the drier areas. Dense forests extend. I don't know when grasses are. I think grasses are only a recent thing. Dense forests extend to the polar regions. Late in the period, the planet slowly cooled, and Antarctica froze over, and the southern ocean currents became colder. Early mammals. The earliest reptile ancestors of mammals had long bodies and did not look much like mammals. They developed specialized teeth and compact bodies covered with fur. The first true mammals appeared at the end of the Triassic period. Ooh, okay. And developed specialized bones in the ear that gave them sensitive hearing. Ah, okay. Well, 'cause that came from the bones, that's hearing ears. The Diomedon is that sailback one, the early mammal-like reptile. The Permian had a sail on its back. The Carnassinognathus, an advanced mammal-like reptile, lived in the Jurassic, like the Tasmanian devil. The Megazathron, a tiny Jurassic creature, was one of the first true mammals. It looks like a furry mouse with a long snout. And the Glyptothon, an armored mammal the size of a small car. Now, that just looks like some sort of weird thing. Ginkgo. Only one species of ginkgo survives today. It's sometimes called a living fossil because it provides a clue to the plant life long ago. And there's a ginkgo fossil in some coal. Home to humans. Oh, thank goodness. We're going to have the end of this soon. Home to humans. When the world's climate became cooler and dry between 23 million years and 2 million years ago, a vast area of grassy plain replaced the lush tropical forests in South Africa. Newly formed mountain chains like the Himalayas disrupted global weather patterns. Plant-eating animals roamed in huge nomadic herds, eating the grasses, developing grinding teeth and stomachs. Churning stomachs. Many modern mammals can trace their ancestors to smaller mammals. From this time, apes left the trees to forage on the ground and learn to walk upright. This made it easier to see food and predators and free their arms to carry their young. The first humans evolved about 2 million years ago. Fairly good on him. They learned to make stone tools and mastered the use of fire. Several forms evolved and died out before our own species, Homo sapiens, appeared around 200,000 years ago. Okay, that's a reasonably good thing. Lucy, I remember reading about Lucy. Humans evolved an upright walking apes called Astropithecines and lived about 4 million years ago. A female Astropithecine skeleton nicknamed Lucy was discovered in Ethiopia in 1974. Stone Age burial. These Stone Age humans appear to have buried together, with the bodies curled around each other. The skulls and of the right hand bodies crowned with a headdress made from shells. The remains are discovered in Luga, Italy. Isn't that amazing? Spreading across the globe. Modern humans appeared in Africa about 200,000 years ago. They migrated Africa to Europe, Asia and Australia. Low sea levels during the Ice Age allowed humans to walk across the Northern Asia, across the Bering Straits to America. Neanderthals were the first humans that lived in cave about 60,000 years ago. I think that's incorrect. Because that's really incorrect. Neanderthals were well adapted to the harsh conditions during the Ice Ages, with stocky bodies to help them conserve heat and impressive tool-making skills. I think this is going back to front. Despite this, they became extinct about 28,000 years ago. There's florins and other things. These fossil footprints of early humans who walked here about 35 million years ago, the incredible thing about the early footprints, the very first human footprints, showed children's footprints in their mum's and dad's footprints. It was really interesting to see. In addition to fossilized bones, early humans left behind many clues to their habits, such as footprints embedded in rocks, their tools, their trash dumps, and their artworks. Each discovery allows modern researchers to piece together the lives of people who came before us. This fossil footprint shows early humans who walked around 3.5 million years ago. I wonder, they actually look like the original footprints they picked up. Discovered by four teenagers, the Lacroix was painted 17,000 years ago. Just go back. So Aboriginal art was relatively sophisticated at that time. Yep. Okay, that finishes the history of the Earth. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover
truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.